From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm your host and garden expert, Teresa Watkins. I had a little hiccup last week, and I'd like to thank Lizzie for taking care of things while I was gone.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. So it's been a good week for rain. We've gotten a few inches of rain this week, and that's basically all we need every couple of days. This is the month of July coming up, and we'll get over 7 inches of rain this month. So the rainy season has started. We're going to get some good rain this afternoon. Lizzie, how have you been in the rain department?
Okay, so all week, the rain has been avoiding our little area, literally like within probably a quarter of a mile around our house. We will see the storms roll in, thunder, this, that, blah, 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 and then hear about it up the road, and it's raining,
and you hear the thunder.
It. Yes, you can. Just driving the animals crazy, and then nothing until yesterday. Yesterday, we got our 7 inches. I don't know if we really got 7 inches, but I'm telling you what, it flooded at our house yesterday.
Yeah, so. It's either, you know, drought or flood, you know, just it's amazing. But we are going to be getting more rain. The rainy season is here, and we definitely need the rain to replenish the aquifer. And so we're already into our second tropical storm Beryl. And so that's not going to hit us, or it's not going to really affect us, but it's just that time of the year for rain. And so it's just going to be a busy season. They're already looking at one off the coast that could be developing off the coast of Africa that could be developing. And so just want to keep your eyes. And this is, again, a good time to walk around your yards. And if you only have a day or so to take, to get ready to prepare for the storm, the landscaping, do it now. And just make sure you know what you're going to put away, what needs to come inside to your garage or your patio. And then that way, you know, when they say the storm's coming, we do have enough advanced warning that you can get it done. Getting your tree work done, it's a busy time. You're probably not going to get tree work this week. But if you do need to have somebody come out and look at your trees, we're going, this is the time to do it, because it may be a couple of weeks out before they can get to you, because this is the busy time of the year for arborists. And in our second hour today, we're going to have my favorite tree company, Word of Mouth. They're coming on to talk to us about lightning strikes. And so I'm looking forward to that. So give them a call. Give everybody just to walk around your yards and look at your trees. So we're into July, and what should you be planting right now? Well, typically, this is the time of the year the Caribbean vegetables, the tropical vegetables, all will do well. Your Everglades tomatoes and your cherry tomatoes will continue to have tomatoes. You're going to get, they're going to get germinated. I'm not germinated, pollinated, and it will... that you can be eating tomatoes through the summertime, but it's going to be the cherry and the really small tomatoes, the dwarf ones. So, you can continue with that. Also, the southern peas, okra. Okra's a great one. Okras are in the mallow family, and they look beautiful in the landscape. And so Seminole pumpkins, sweet cassabas, roselle, sweet potatoes, and yard-long beans. And mid-month, because I'm going to Ireland this month, so, Tom will talk about that. Tom McCubbin is going to be here. I'm really excited about that. And so he's going to be here. But you want to start your tomatoes and peppers towards the end of the month and get those ready to put in the ground or in your containers for the mid-August, end of August.
Okay, so like the seeds we need to put in the ground.
Go ahead and get your seeds now so that you're ready to grow, because as we get towards the end of summer, the seed supplies get very, very low, and some of the favorite ones that you would like to plant are not available because they're all sold out.
That's true. They do clear that out because they get ready for the fall.
They don't even call you and tell you, we're taking the seeds out, so you better be here.
It's Florida.
They just are disappear one day. So you do want to get your seeds ready now, and then you can start, growing your transplants at the end of July, first part of August, so you can do that. Other than that, you can still be planting herbs, flowers, everything that's in the nursery right now, you can go ahead and put in your yard. This is a great time of the year to do it because we have the rain, the supply, you know, the rainfall to go ahead and keep them watered. The heat, don't worry about summer annuals and summer perennials like your calibrachoas, your sedums, all of your coleuses. They all do fine during the summertime, and they can take the heat. So if it's in the nursery right now, you can go ahead and plant it without any problem whatsoever. Because, you know, people are always asking me, so what can we plant, you know, what time of the year do we not plant? And I go, this is Florida. All year round, you know. So I wouldn't do it before a major storm, you know, where we get flooding issues and your seeds float away. Or during, right before a frost. We know we're going to get a frost within a few weeks. And so we have really a great show for you today. The first hour, we're going to have Bill Stengel with the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios with new mosquito studies. And he's going to be telling us some great information about how you cannot be a victim of mosquitoes. And then we also have fun interview with our friend from Canada, Stephen Biggs. He is cool season gardening all year round there, and he loves to grow edibles in his landscape. So he's going to be with us in the first hour and tell us how to landscape our chain link fences. And then again, we have word of mouth Austin Tolman in our second hour regarding lightning strikes. So you'll want to see that. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. And this week was designated National Mosquito Awareness Week. And as you know, we make much ado about female mosquitoes being the stalkers and biting us. But we don't know a lot about the male mosquitoes. What is their purpose? Well, Bill Stengel with Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, he's vice president. He is with us right now. And there are new studies out on mosquitoes, and he's got great information for us. Bill, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. Did you have a wonderful Father's Day?
I did indeed.
That's wonderful. Yep. How's the weather right there, up there? You're in Maryland right now?
Yes. Yesterday was absolutely stunning. It was in the mid to upper 70s for most of the day. It was clear as a bell. There was low humidity. It was just one of those days that you really, if you weren't outside embracing it,
yes,
you really missed it.
Oh, wow. That sounds wonderful. Great weather is what we always look forward to in the summertime. So June 20th through June 26th was National Mosquito Control Awareness Week. And I'm glad to have you on because there have been new mosquito research out there, and I wanted to have you on to discuss it. What is the study, and how will it possibly help us to prevent mosquito bites?
Well, it's interesting. When I looked at the studies, one of the things I thought to myself was, wow, Johnny Cash must have gotten a lot of mosquito bites.
Now, why is that?
Well, because he always wore black, and the study has said that mosquitoes are particularly drawn to red and black.
There you go.
And see, those colors. So if you're outside, you know, if you're in an area and you want to help repel mosquitoes, they have a strong dislike for white and green. And that was very interesting to me. And I happen to be currently dressed in green, so I'm ready for the mosquitoes.
There you go. And so it's interesting, you don't think of them as having, you know, color vision, you know, and being attracted or drawn to different colors. So that's great. So and even in white in the summertime, you know, kind of helps you keep cooler too. So that's great. So don't wear black and red, and wear white and green, and you won't get as many mosquito attracted to you. And what about smell? Can they smell you? And do you have like pheromones, or did the study say anything about that?
Oh, yes. I mean, absolutely. I mean, people wonder why, hey, how come I get bit sitting out here and my spouse, nothing happens? And it is. I mean, different people put out different scents, and mosquitoes are driven by different scents. And there are a couple of flowering plants that, in particular, that mosquitoes seem obsessively drawn to. One is the one that people equate to hay fever. That's the plant called goldenrod.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't have anything to do with hay fever. So that's the solidago. So where there's goldenrod, you're going to have a lot of mosquitoes. They love that scent. Huh.
Yes. And then there was this plant. I mean, this plant I wasn't even familiar with, but it's called the blunt-leaved bog orchid. So, and apparently it is the big one for drawing mosquitoes. So I don't have any of those in my landscape, fortunately.
No, neither do I. Wow.
But it was amazing how many mosquitoes they saw were drawn to this particular plant.
I wonder if that's with all orchids. That's interesting. So we know the female mosquito is the one that bites. But we never talk about male mosquitoes. What role do they play in getting bit?
Well, yeah, male mosquitoes, like you said, they don't bite. They're not looking for a blood meal. They feed on nectar. I mean, that's their primary source of nutrient. Uh-huh. But they're important to the female mosquito because they mate with the female mosquito. And that, in turn, makes the female mosquito want to bite you because the female mosquito needs the protein from blood. And it's not just human blood. It could be any animal blood. But
yeah,
she needs that protein to develop her eggs.
Wow. That's interesting. So male mosquitoes like flowers. So if you have a big flower garden or lots of flowering plants in your yard, mosquitoes like that the flower nectar.
Well, yeah, and female mosquitoes do also. You know, female mosquitoes are not always looking for a blood meal. I mean, they'll feed off of flowers also.
Wow. So what can Floridians do to prevent mosquitoes?
Don't plant any flowers.
Oh, no, we're in the wrong show. But we just got to be more careful, right?
We do. I mean, you know, mosquitoes breed in standing water. So you have to have standing water somewhere for mosquitoes to breed. And I know in Florida, just as in most other places, there is a ton of standing water. And oftentimes it's not even where you think it is. You don't know. You look outside and go, oh, you know, I'm not in an area that has standing water. Well, that standing water can be a thimble full of water that sits outside for 3 or 4 days. If it's there, mosquitoes will find it and they'll breed in it. At my house, I have underground irrigation, and I have an irrigation control box. And I opened it up the other day, and lo and behold, there was a couple of inches of water in it. Lo and behold, there were some little mosquito larvae swimming around in there.
How do they find it? That's incredible. And so it's so standing water. I mean, I want to go into that and explain to people that this is water that is standing for at least 3 days, and it could be anywhere in the mulch. Even those large mulch pieces can hold onto the water for 3 days.
Absolutely.
Wow. And so Summit Responsible Solutions has a solution for preventing mosquitoes, and what is that?
Well, we have two products that get applied to standing water. One is called Mosquito Dunks, and one is called Mosquito Bits. So in my case, when I saw the standing water in my irrigation control box, I took a mosquito dunk, and I just took a piece of it because a mosquito dunk covers a lot of area, but I just broke off a little chunk and threw it down into the box, and I checked the next day and all that mosquito larva was gone. They were dead.
What I so appreciate about it is that this mosquito dunks is very organic and doesn't hurt anything else. It only goes after the mosquito larva, right?
That's correct. It's a naturally occurring soil-borne bacteria that was discovered a number of years ago in Israel, of all places. A entomologist was doing some research out there and saw a pool of water that had a lot of mosquito activity, and not far away from it was another pool of water that had no mosquito activity. So the curiosity got to him, and analyzing it, and discovered that in the one with no mosquito larva, there was a bacteria in there that he named Bacillus thuringiensis israeliensis because wow. of discovering it in Israel. And from that is born the product that we sell, or the products we sell, called mosquito dunks and mosquito bits. So as you mentioned, lethal to mosquito larvae, harmless to everything else. And by everything else, I mean, you know, fish and plants and people and pets and
birds,
bees. It's there's no fear. We get calls all the time. You know, people go, well, if I put this in my bird bath, well, the birds will be fine. The birds will drink the water and it'll be fine for them. You know, bees will come in. You see bees.
Yeah, they need water too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, there are some other mosquito products out there that can't make that same claim. I mean, they will hurt pollinators. So this is a perfect product to treat standing water that you either don't want to or can't remove. Like in my case with my irrigation control, I could not get that water out, but I could certainly treat it.
That's amazing. And so here in Florida, we have wonderful and beautiful bromeliads, and they are a source for mosquitoes because they have that little cup that holds on to water, and that's how the bromeliads get their water. But this is a mosquito bits would be a great product to keep the mosquitoes out, right?
They are, because mosquito bits and dunks, they have the same active ingredient, but mosquito bits are the granular form. The big difference is the length of time that they last. Mosquito bits will work for a week or so, whereas mosquito dunks will continue working for 30 or more days. But yeah, in a bromeliad, you can't really put a dunk out there because there's so many little cups of water in a bromeliad.
Right.
You just want to broadcast the bits over the bromeliad so that each little cup, it gets at least one bit in it, and that one bit will release the bacteria that's on the outside of the bit into the cup. And it doesn't take much. I mean, it really doesn't. I mean, one of the things that people do with almost any application of any kind of chemical or medicine is they figure, well, if this much will do it, twice this much will be even better.
And that's wrong. Exactly. So now, I was at a client's house this week, and they're on a lakefront, and there were gnats all over, these little clouds of gnats. And does Summit Responsible Solutions have a product for that?
We do. It's a chemical spray called Mosquito and Gnat Barrier. It works really, really well on gnats, and it works well on adult mosquitoes. So, you know, the thing to keep in mind about mosquito bits and mosquito dunks is they only work on the larval stage of the mosquito. So once that mosquito grows up and is flying around, and the gnats the same thing, you have to treat them differently. So it's a spray. You can hook it to your hose. It's really simple to use, and you spray those areas where you have problems with gnats, or you have areas that mosquitoes might land, because mosquitoes are weak flyers. People think mosquitoes will be all out in the yard. Now, mosquitoes are, again, remember earlier in the show we talked about flowers, and,
right,
and they like to get to nectar. So you want to use this to treat areas where mosquitoes are going to land. So it could be fences and decks and trees, and if you have a carport that's semi-enclosed, I mean, that's a great place for mosquitoes to gather because typically it's shady, it's cool.
Right.
They don't like to be out in the sun.
Bill, so we just have a few minutes.
Spray those areas. Yep.
Yeah, we just have a few more minutes. Tell people where they can get mosquito dunks, and what is your website?
all mosquito dunks are almost everywhere. I mean, you can go to most major retailers in hardware and lawn and garden. And our website, if you can't find it and you want to find out more, is summitresponsiblesolutions.com.
There you go. Thank you so much, Bill. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful 4th of July. Your product will be used a lot in the next couple of days to get ready for the 4th of July. Take care. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and our friend Stephen Biggs from Canada on what to do with your chain link fence. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. Stephen Biggs is a horticulturist, a garden author, and journalist specializing in food gardens. He and his amazing daughter, Emma, they have a host, a food garden life news show. It's also an award-winning show that helps you grow your own food. Good morning, Stephen. Thank you for joining me this morning. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Fine, thanks. Nice to be here.
Oh, wonderful. I'm so pleased you're here. And so how's your summer going? Did you get experience that heat wave that hit Vermont and Rhode Island of the 100-degree temperatures?
Oh, yeah. So we were getting low 90s here, which was very hot for this time of year. And it's just been a warm, wet spring. So everything is green and lush.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's great to grow food. Those warm temperatures really help stimulate growth. And so a few weeks ago, you had in your monthly Food Garden Life newsletter, which I love to read. It has fabulous tips in it and wonderful, exciting ideas. You had a great way to hide a chain link fence. So I wanted to have you on and let's discuss this. So tell us about your ideas for your chain link fence.
Yeah, so there was an ugly chain link fence between our house and our neighbors, and I planted a trailing thornless blackberry there. And it worked really well because it hid the fence, and then I didn't need to put up any trellising for the blackberry. So I was pleased with it, so were the neighbors.
So what are some of the benefits of using blackberries to hide your chain link?
Well, I guess for me, like you said, my passion is food, growing food. So I love food plants in the landscape. So that's number one for me, is adding one more food plant. But it hides the fence. Chain link fences arguably aren't the prettiest thing, so you can hide the fence. It can be the trellis. You don't have to put up any kind of trellis for this trailing plant. And blackberries have really pretty flowers, Teresa, these pink flowers. And so when it's in bloom, it looks really nice. And then for us here, when our leaves are coming off of the trees in October, the blackberry seems to hold its leaves longer than most other things. And so that fence stays nice and green longer than most other parts of the landscape.
Yeah, and here in Florida, they would too as well. So that's a really good, it's a wonderful idea because blackberries are native to Florida. So people who would want to plant native plants but also grow food in their yard, then blackberries are just a perfect choice for hiding that fence, like you say. So are there certain cultivars that you recommend?
Yeah, and so I was looking at, and I think you were too, a University of Florida bulletin for some ideas, and I've been looking through some of the online nurseries, and here's what I want people to think about, is that first of all, some cultivars are what's called semi-erect or trailing, which means they have these arching canes that need support, but some are more bush-like, and those are called upright blackberries. And so they could both work to hide a fence, but if you're picturing these long arching canes, then you probably want what's called this semi-erect type of blackberry. And I was looking for ones that do well in Florida, and the one name that came up at a couple nurseries is one called Triple Crown. So that's a name for people to tuck away. And but another thing you could think about is if you prefer the idea of just more of an upright plant that's more bush-like, there's two that I've seen a lot in the Florida websites, Natchez and Navajo. They're more upright. And one that seems to be new with really big fruit. It's called Big Daddy. So those are some ideas for you. And I have one more thought, too, is that, and we can get to this, but most blackberries fruit on the second year branches, or canes as they're called.
Uh-huh.
But there are some new varieties that make fruit on the first year ones. That's called primal cane fruiting is the technical word. But a variety that has fruit on those first year canes is called Prime Arc. That's one of them.
That's great information. I love that. And I have grown the Navajo and the Natchez, and they do nice, very nice here in the delicious berries. So I've had native blackberries, and they are delicious. The blackberries were almost as big as my thumb. They were just wonderful, wow. Huge. But boy, the thorns, Stephen. Oh my goodness. The native ones are really thorny. Are there advantages of fruits of a native thorny blackberry or the thornless cultivars? Is there pros and cons?
It'll depend on the thornless cultivar, because sometimes when fruit breeding happens, sometimes it's for taste, but sometimes it's for traits like how well it ships, how long it lasts. So it really will depend on which cultivar. And if you're researching a cultivar, then you might want to see, is it rated good for taste or not? Because as I was browsing some of these selections for Florida, some said this is more acidic, more suited to jam, whereas some were rated for really great flavor. So that would be something to think about as you research it. I know here when I've picked wild blackberries, the taste is just unparalleled. It's really, really good. So I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I love them. So you were talking about second year canes and then the primal canes. So what kind of maintenance do they need? So do you cut them all down at the end of winter time and let them start growing again? What kind of maintenance, especially on a chain link fence?
Yeah, okay, great question. And I think the thing to know is that the blackberry is a perennial plant, and it puts out these branches, they're called canes, it puts out these canes that last for 2 years. The technical term for the first year, it's called a primal cane, the second year a flora cane. You don't have to remember that. But most blackberries, it's only those second year canes that make fruit. And then after they've fruited, they die.
Wow.
So you would remove the canes after the second year. But I want to go back to, I mentioned this one variety called Prime Arc that makes fruit on the first year canes. So do be aware they're breeding some now that do make fruit both the first and second year.
Wow, that's great information. And so we're coming up on a break. Stephen, can you stay through the break?
I sure can.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, so blackberries are, the kind of maintenance you've talked about. That. How many blackberries between metal posts? When you come back, you're going to let us know how many to plant for a chain link fence. You're listening to Stephen Biggs. He is the host of Food Garden Life News Network and blog. We're going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. This is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. We have the amazing Stephen Biggs here. He is all about edible landscaping and growing your own food. He's the host of the award-winning show Food, Garden, and Life News, and his daughter, they have a radio show, podcast, and it's just excellent. So, Stephen, thank you for staying through the break, because I have some really important questions to ask. And so,
okay.
Blackberries, we have a chain link fence, and some people can have as much as 50, 60 foot of chain link fence. How many blackberry shrubs or bushes should they plant?
Well, often with chain link fences, those posts are about 10 feet apart. And so if you're growing those upright blackberries, you might want a couple between posts. For those, if you have a semi-trailing one, like I talked about the triple crown, you might just have one and then bend down and train those long arching canes along the fence.
Okay, so when you're talking about training, do you weave the canes in and out, or do you just let them grow up and grow wherever they would like to through the fence?
I would just let them grow up, and then just what happens is those canes get long and arching, And as they begin to bend down, then you could just tie the tip to the fence. So you don't need to weave it through the fence. They're usually pretty stout.
Oh, wow. That's really cool. So you mentioned your neighbors benefiting from your planting in your post, and I thought that was wonderful. So what would you do or how would you talk to your neighbors about planting the blackberries? Is there any kind of direction as to being a good neighbor with the blackberry shrubs?
That's such a good question. Yeah, it was my neighbor Clyde and Roz's fence, but it was my blackberry. And they probably thought I was a bit crazy at first, but I'd say just be nice and share. And they would pick what was on their side. I'd pick what was on my side. And, you know, maybe your neighbor wants you to let some of those canes grow onto their side. And if they do, then maybe oblige them.
There you go. And more for everybody. So that works
exactly.
out. So tell us all the various ways that you enjoy eating blackberries.
Oh, well, I have to start with daiquiris. So I guess, you know, we would freeze a lot of these blackberries because there were so many. We couldn't eat them all at once. And we were looking at these frozen blackberries thinking, well, they'd be great in a drink. So blackberry daiquiris, delicious. Blackberry pie. Blackberry jam, my Uncle Bill always called it partial plate buster jam. And my wife Shelley makes this amazing lemon curd, and she puts honeyed blackberries on top of it. So those are some ways that we love to use blackberries.
Oh, Lizzie, doesn't that sound great?
Are y'all looking for a roommate? Because I'm on my way up.
So welcome anytime.
So Steve, tell us a little bit about your food garden life news and your show that you do with your amazing daughter Emma. Tell us all about that and how people can listen to it and get your newsletter.
Oh, thanks for that. Yeah, so my website is foodgardenlife.com, and that's where people can hop on the newsletter. And yeah, my passion is weaving food into home gardens and landscapes. So there's always lots of ideas about that. And on the website too, we've got information about the Food Garden Life show. And it's once a week. It's a podcast. You can also just find it on all your major pod providers. So the Food Garden Life show.
Okay, Lizzie?
Okay, Stephen, I wanted to let you know that because of hearing from you when we've had you on before, I have been adventuring out and putting and growing herbs randomly throughout my yard that I don't actually use to eat at that second or because, we have dogs that like to pee on stuff. But just because of the smell and how beautiful and just knowing that the garden, the edible garden, is randomly through our property. And like you said, our neighbors are like, oh, hey, Lizzie, what are you growing over there? I'm like, you know what? You can reach it. You can have it. Just make sure the dogs aren't out so they don't bite you. So thank you for inspiring me to go out and just start randomly planting edible plants out. And then if we eat them, we eat them. If we don't, they're still there and they smell good and look beautiful.
Oh, thanks for telling me that, Lizzie. That is great.
She's so good. So you have to come down and see all of our gardens, Stephen, one year. So again, what is your website? And thank you so much for joining us this morning. I think the blackberry, thornless blackberries on your chain link fence, I think it is a fabulous idea. And I hope everyone in Florida does it. So what is your website again?
Thank you. Foodgardenlife.com. And thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend. Thank you so much, Steve. Great summer.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. And so I love his enthusiasm. His knowledge and experience is amazing. His whole family is into gardening, mm-hmm. and they're all, at a young age, they're experts, his kids. And Emma is just an amazing, knowledgeable person. So you'll love the podcast, and he's just got some great information. Blackberry daiquiris, who knew?
Oh, I have. They're good.
You'll have to give me your recipe.
No. It's called going to a bar and finding a bar that has it on a special.
homemade blackberry daiquiris. And so we loved, Tony and I love eating blackberries. And we had blackberries in our yard up until about 5 years ago. And then we just changed the area, so we took them out. But I'm gonna be getting blackberries soon.
See, I've been trying to figure out what to grow on my fencing, and so I'm thinking about now doing the blackberries on our fencing.
And so, but do bears like blackberries? I think they do.
You know, if they do, then they get a little treat, I guess.
Yeah,
just stay out of my garbage.
There you go. Yeah, you can direct them on the other side of your property. That'll be great. I have a lot of emails and answers, gardening answers to provide in the next hour for you. What to do in the month of July. We're going to be talking about that. And then we have next hour, Austin Tolman. And he is co-owner of Word of Mouth Tree Service. It's mm-hmm. a family business. And him and Perry, his dad, they do wonderful work. But we're going to be talking about lightning, and it's National Lightning Safety Awareness Week, too, as well.
We got that yesterday for sure, and the turkeys were standing up looking at me like, why are we out in this metal pen? And I'm like, well, because, well, roasted turkey.
you are just so cruel. You're so cruel. We're going to be talking to Austin in the next hour. And so let me see if I can get a couple of these
Yeah, save your calls for 8:30. 8:30, we will start taking all of your calls.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text me 23680. And this is a time to get it in now, so I don't have it right at the very last minute. We don't have time to get it in, so you can do that. Steve, and I don't know exactly where you are, Steve, but you wanted to send me pictures for identifying plants, and you can just do that by going to our website, www.she-consulting.com. That's my website. And you can send me photographs there, and I will identify them for you and send them right back to you. Monica also, she sent me a great picture, and she's had a plant that was her mother or her grandmother's, and she had the plant, the container for 20 years, and she had three lovely plants in them, and the tallest plant was a green and cream rounded leaves. It's called a Polyceus fruticosa, which is a variegated Ming Aurelia. And she had a little palm tree in it, which was the Dipsis lutescens, a Rica palm. And then the third chartreuse colored plant was a Dracaena warnicki, lemon lime. And so, great picture. I was able to identify all of them. And I love doing that, just going through the yard and just saying, this is this, this is this. And you can just email me, send me a picture, and I will email it to you, or I will respond back. And then also, too, Gary sent me a wonderful picture of his corner of his garage. He had a plant come down, a big, large juniper taken out, and he wanted to put a low pot in. So I'll talk about that when I come back, and I sent him some ideas and great pictures there. And then also, too, what do I have here? Torpedo grass. Are you familiar with torpedo grass?
Yes, it's horrible stuff.
It is. It is horrible stuff. Well, Don sent me an email on it, so I'll be talking about, taking care of torpedo grass in a citrus, underneath citrus trees. So I'll be talking about that. If you'd like to give us a call at the bottom of the next hour, we have Dirty Word of the Day and a wonderful discussion with Austin Tolman, Word of Mouth Tree Service, coming up. But at 8:30, I'll be taking all of your gardening questions. And so you can go ahead and write the number down. It should be in your book, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Now, if you're listening to the show at another time, because sometimes I'll come in and there'll be messages from mm-hmm. after the show.
Yes.
And so after the show's over, there's no one here to answer. So,
but I do come in Monday mornings, and I do screenshot all the texts for Teresa, and I ship them to her. So,
you do.
And we had, speaking of texts, a perfect text will include your first name, where you live, like what city you live in, and then a synopsis of what you're wanting to ask. So,
yeah, that helps out because I want to give you the right answers. And what I would tell somebody to do in Key West, it's not going to be the same that I tell someone in Tallahassee to do.
This is very true. And that's why it's so important to let us know. And you can make up a first name. If you don't want to put your first name out there, it's okay. But we do have a listener. They didn't follow the rules, but they did make us laugh. And it says, I wish mosquitoes sucked fat instead of blood. Then we could all sit outside all day and eat donuts. Amen.
There you go. See, that's true. And we love hearing from Nancy in Merritt Island. She is a frequent listener. And we love hearing from you. I'd like to say a big hi to Ira and then also Bob and Gloria. And so they're all really, really big fans of Better Lawns and Gardens. And if you do not get Better Lawns and Gardens on your radio show, on your station, please ask for it. We're syndicated, and we can be on any station. If you just ask your station to run the show, we would appreciate that. Also, to go to our Facebook page and like us. That's Better Lawns and Gardens. And you can give us 5 stars. You can ask email questions there. You can ask and send your pictures there, too, as well on Facebook. So we love seeing that. Thank you, Lizzie. We're going to be right back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. It's Saturday morning. You're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. And this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Would you like to get a free smartphone? If you own a smartphone, listen to this incredible offer that's almost too good to be true. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Plus, get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline now and we'll move your number from your existing service. Think of your savings. So don't wait. Switch your plan, save money, plus get a free smartphone every year. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. We guarantee you're going to love our service. If you don't like what we say, you can hang up on us. But you won't. Right now, you can switch your plan and get service with us for as little as $2 a day. Guaranteed for life. Call the free smartphone hotline right now. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. 800-942-1325. That's 800-942-1325. WFL.